Utopia is a vision of a permanent paradise, which most people understand as a fantasy which can never become a complete reality. Can the same be said about liberalism? They both have their foundation of ideas and visions of what they should create and result in. Has liberalism fallen into fantasy due to its failure in some way, shape, or form? That's what my next guest believes and writes about in his new book, Why Liberalism Failed. He's an associate professor of political science at Notre Dame University, Patrick J. Denny. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you very much.
And Patrick's website, the obvious, patrickjdenine.com. As a foundation for your book and this conversation, what is a definition or the definition of liberalism?
Right. Well, I note that it's not the political ideology that we think of as kind of on the left side of our political spectrum, but really a deeper philosophical set of assumptions that have deep roots centuries ago. Thinkers like John Locke and John Stuart Mill were some of its architects. And I think we could simply say that it was an effort to address what was a condition at the time in which your kind of who you were and your identity and the kind of life you would lead were the result of the absence of choice, that you were kind of almost constrained in the kind of life you could lead simply by who you were born to. If you were born to an aristocrat, you were an aristocrat. If you were born to someone in the lower classes, you were a serf or something of the like. And part of the aim of liberalism is to liberate individuals from any unchosen form of identity. And you could say that on the one hand, this was a very noble effort. On the other hand, it seems to me that in certain respects, we've gone to the opposite extreme in attempting to create a world where individuals no longer are in some ways bound by the relationships and commitments that once would have defined much of our identity, that we've created a world that essentially is designed to liberate us from every other human. And as a result, we have an increasingly atomized society.
So what is it an issue then where liberalism fell prey to the changing times, or is it more that it was a belief platform that was incapable of keeping up with the times?
Well, I think it's actually, so there's the philosophical liberalism that I'm talking about, and then there was the kind of the practice of liberal democracy that has existed over a long period of time. And I would say that the practice of liberal democracy never quite conformed to the theory of liberal democracy. And so there was for a long time, someone like Alexis de Tocqueville comes to America and he's struck by how much sort of political activity there is, how many people join associations, how much volunteerism there is in America, a strong sense of relationship and families and community and churches and so forth, so that this vision of the autonomous, liberated individual was not true in practice, even though Americans, in a way, held it in theory. And part of my argument is that liberalism has failed because now liberalism has increasingly succeeded. It has increasingly reshaped the world. The ideas have reshaped the world to the point where now our practice tends to more and more conform to our theory. And the irony is that in order to achieve this condition, we rely on certain tools, the tools of the state, the tools of the market, and the tools of science and technology to liberate us to this condition of the autonomous and free individual. And yet more and more people today feel like these tools actually govern them. And so the condition of our liberty is, ironically enough, now a kind of condition of our bondage.
So with the modern-day definition or the modern-day conception of liberalism being entrapment, as you write about why liberalism failed, it had its historic roots on a social level, at least, of the freedom. Is part of the problem that it's great to have the vision, but if you don't have the clear view of the path, that's going to be where your vision extinguishes?
No, in fact, I think in some ways you could say the vision of the liberal, this liberated human being was quite clear, but that the path was always kind of winding and in some ways prevented the realization, the full realization of this vision. But what we see today, for example, I'll just give you a more concrete example of this. The more we move along toward the younger generations, the less likely it is that, in a sense, the younger you are, the less likely it is that you will eventually form a family or have children or join a religious church or institution, or become a member of a political party, or have patriotism towards your country. In other words, all these things that we would think about as the thicker bonds of our relationships that ultimately, I think, are ways that we learn how to play well together and how to interact with each other, and in part are necessary for a civic fabric ultimately to think about the common good, that these practices have faded as we become more, as we've conformed more to the theory and the philosophy of liberalism. So the problem in some ways is that we've realized the vision to the point now where it seems to me that the political system itself is in crisis because it has become fully itself.
I'm with Patrick J. Dineen, who is Associate Professor of Political Science at Notre Dame University. His new book, Why Liberalism Failed, patrickjdineen.com, is his website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned the youth and education, too, and in a light of that, you wrote, liberalism further undermines education by replacing a definition of liberty as an education and self-government with liberty as autonomy with the and the absence of constraint. Talk about that a little further.
Sure. Well, of course, at the heart and the root of the very word liberal education or liberal arts education is the word liberty. But I think what we tend to miss is that a kind of transformation occurred precisely along the lines that I've been describing, that rather than understanding liberty as a kind of art that required an education, particularly the capacity to rule ourselves and to discipline what are sometimes are the baser aspects of our nature, our appetites, or think about it as a civilization, our tendency to consume often without regard to the consequences of our consumption, thinking of our environmental crisis, that a part of a liberal education was to not simply to be free, but to use liberty well. And the transition to this more modern, I would say, liberal definition of liberty, the freedom to do as we wish, this idea of autonomy, has meant that we've really now practically abandoned liberal arts education, and it helps to explain why it's being increasingly replaced, especially by the disciplines in the science, technology, the sort of STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, as well as economics and business, that this form of liberty, the form of liberty of the free and autonomous individual, requires a kind of different education. So we don't necessarily emphasize self-discipline and self-government, which includes democratic self-government, but rather the ability of human beings to extend the conquest of nature, the conquest of the external natural world, and even our own nature, increasingly efforts to transform what we think of as our own biology.
When you mentioned, too, with freedom and the times and the timeline of the liberalism and the realm that you address it as many more people should be addressing it as, by the way, when you look back with the founding fathers like Madison and Hamilton, how did they look at those ideals in their writings and in their views and their visions?
Well, I do subject our otherwise very much honored and deservedly honored founding fathers to a certain amount of criticism in the following way, that they had, I think most of them, and certainly in the case of someone like Alexander Hamilton, shared this philosophical vision of liberalism and that wanted to create a powerful nation economically, militarily, and otherwise that would allow for individuals to precisely pursue their own ends, their own individual goods and ends, and wouldn't be constrained by the places they happen to be born into. They wanted to create, at that time, a national system in what was then a much more sort of state-based system, a more local form of politics and economics and society. But they created that vision, they had that vision, in part moderated by the existence of a thick set of human relationships and families and communities and churches and so forth. And I don't want to fault them for not foreseeing where this would end up. But in a way, the kind of philosophical vision that was actuated in their political design is now actually now, I think it's ironically, again, and paradoxically giving rise to a kind of crisis within that political system that they themselves designed. So liberalism ultimately can't sustain itself. It needs kind of correctives to moderate its own worst tendencies, but increasingly those correctives are no longer available to us. We've disassembled them in the name of liberty.
So as moving forward in time for this realm of liberalism to survive, it needs a revision more than a redefinition. But then the tools for that revision,
it's right. It I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, for the ironically, those tools that you just said, the revision tools, in effect, have to be revised.
Right, and this is really what this is the difficult question. I think this is in many ways an issue that neither sides of our political spectrum is really addressing today. We tend to view our problem today primarily in political terms, and frankly, politics as can be resolved in Washington, D.C. And so the terms of the debate tend to be what can we do at the national political level. And if my analysis is right, the focus on the national political level is actually part of our crisis. It means that we are increasingly see the only solution to these, what I see as deeper underlying foundational issues within liberalism as resolvable within the national political sphere, when in fact we need is the capacity to develop ourselves as civic beings, as human beings who share a civic life together, and as well as to restrain this idea of ourselves as these autonomous, free, self-making individuals. And that's that requires a kind of deeper transformation, and that's at the level of families and communities and neighborhoods and churches. And my argument would be that, in fact, if we have a concern about our political system, we have to think beyond our political system to look for, in some ways, solutions to that crisis.
Someone maybe make the argument that's almost sounding like the current populist movement that we're seeing both on the political and social levels.
Well, I think the populist movement is more a kind of a symptom of an underlying disease in a way. It's a kind of cry for assistance, saying that the atomization of society that we've experienced, and it's both in and through our politics, but it's also clearly in our economic system, the kind of ravages that have been experienced by people in my part of the country here in the Midwest and in elsewhere beyond the coasts. That on the one hand, there's a felt sense that we no longer have a common good and that certain people are benefiting and other people are not. But populism as an expression especially of the desire for a strong leader and a kind of a autocratic leader, even authoritarian leader, is in some ways you could say it's the exact opposite of what we need. Again, to look to having a strong man in Washington, D.C. is not the solution to the problem. It rather lies in the cultivation, again, of a stronger, I would say, stronger culture and cultural forms that in many ways can't simply be solved by looking to some powerful leader in Washington, D.C.
Through a historical timeline and very precise and easy to grasp analytics, Patrick really does give you a insight into a realm of society that is mistaken as political, but has a much more stronger history and base in day-to-day life in many ways, where it fell short, where it disconnected, where it turned, where it should have twisted, and vice versa. And you wind up with a much better understanding of maybe part of the reason why we have the confusion that we have today, as a matter of fact, why liberalism failed. PatrickJDeneen.com. Patrick J. Deneen, thanks for being here today.
Thanks very much for having me.